Time to talk fishing and the outdoors with professional fisherman and guide Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin. He's an outdoor photographer as well, a columnist, co-host of a Madison-based radio show called Outdoor Horizons. And he's got a great website, too, and we'll talk with him about it. I think it's Gary Engberg Outdoor.
Outdoors.com.
Gary Engberg.
Outdoors.com.
Outdoors.com. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Larry.
How's the fishing?
Well, you know, this hot weather isn't the greatest. It's great if you don't have to work and you can go out in the middle of the night, kind of. When you get weather and water temperature in most of your waters is going to be 80, 82 degrees. So most of your fish during the day are going to be, you know, in deeper water, and they're going to be, you know, probably become a lot, very much nocturnal, where they'll do most of their feeding at night. And that's why, particularly, a lot of fish will just kind of, you know, fish in lakes will kind of just kind of shut off during periods like this. Muskies, though, is something I know that you like. Mm-hmm. And there's not a better time to fish for muskies than during hot weather and at night.
Yeah, it's a great time. If you're a muskie fisherman, to get out there, it's kind of an exciting time, too, if you get a nice one on in the dark.
Well, for someone to go out fishing at night, you have to be set up properly for it. And that means, you know, have your rods and reels handy, have good lighting, have everything there, have your nets, have your pliers, everything will be ready to go, because if something can happen or go wrong, it will when you're fishing at night.
I'm wondering about, you know, these temperatures. For example, if you're a catch and release person out there who's fishing, when you get water temperatures over 80 degrees, it starts to get pretty tough on the fish, too.
It's real tough on the fish, and that's why I recommend for people right now to like fish early, and you know, early in the day, you know, go out 4 or 5 in the morning, fish till about 10, or go out after sunset and fish till maybe 9 or 10 at night. It's very hard. You have to have a real good aerator in your boat. You really have to take care of fish. A lot of times, you can't do this so much with muskies. And with muskies this time of year, I probably won't even take them out of the water. If I use a net or if I use a cradle, I'll keep them in the water the whole time. Sometimes with walleyes and bigger fish, especially if you're bringing them in from deeper water, sometimes it's better to put them in the live well, let them, you know, get their bearings and come around a little bit better, and then release them later. And also, too, there's different products with electrolytes and different types of chemicals and minerals you can add to the water that will help these fish regenerate.
If you'd like to join in, by the way, have a question for Gary, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Gary, on a little bit different tact here, you've been an advocate for giving children a chance to experience fishing, and you did some things last weekend to give a number of kids that opportunity.
This past weekend, and actually I've been busy about every weekend since May, we had this past weekend was take an adult fishing tournament in Sauk City at the Wilderness Fish and Game. It's a tournament, any, you know, children under 16 years of age, they have to have a liability form signed by their parent or guardian. But we ended up with 107 teams and I think between 250 and 275 participants in a small town like, you know, Sauk City. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing, Larry, is getting kids introduced to the outdoors, and not just fishing, but the outdoors in general at an early age. You know, then they'll remember these things. And what you're trying to do is to get them to find an activity that's good for life.
And I tell you what, it's tough sometimes for, you know, if you have a mom or dad who've never fished, or maybe it's just a single parent home, sometimes it's hard for those folks if they haven't really done that.
Yeah, and there are companies that are a company you can look up. Zebco is a company that's been making rods and reels for years. I mean, they even have a program and I think a tape that single parents can get that will help introduce them, you know, to the sport of fishing and what to do with their children. Earlier in the year, the O'Hara Fishing Club in Madison had a kids' fishing day at the Alliance Center where they had over 300 kids, and they go out of their way to try and introduce, you know, single parents or anyone into the sport. Every weekend there's a different group, and I mean, I take part in a lot of these activities, and I help and give as much of my time as possible, but the main thing is that you have to have a lot of volunteers, and these volunteers are the ones who make all these programs work.
Let's take some calls. Patrick in La Crosse, we will go to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Is this Dan Mueller?
This is Larry Mueller.
Larry,
yeah.
I'm sorry, your brother Dan.
Hello? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, the radio behind me is probably too loud. I don't have a remote control to turn it down. The smallmouth fishing in La Crosse, Wisconsin is phenomenal right now. With the amount of flow, which is basically not going through here because, you know, rain, or lack of, I should say. Anyone that goes out with a fly rod on a wing dam.
Smallmouth are another species of fish that are very active in hot weather. The species of fish that I find are most active during hot weather, muskies, catfish, smallmouth bass, largemouth bass. And same thing on the Wisconsin River. Basically, on the Wisconsin River here, the Lion Energy has been talking about even shutting down the dams at Wisconsin Dells and Prairie du Sac because basically there is no water to come down from up north. We're right. talking about when normally we have a flow on the Wisconsin River, 3,000 to 4,000 cubic feet per second. Right now, some days it's under 1,000, and that's I live on the river, and there's basically no flow.
Well.
But you can wade, drift. You know, some of these areas, and you can usually find smallmouth working bait fish. And when you do, like you said, I mean, there's nothing better. I mean, you like to use a fly rod, which is a great way to use a little popper or something. Now, another thing is to use, lightweight spinning, ultralight spinning rod, and use some of the surface bait like a chug bug and just, twitch that across the surface of the water, let it sit there for a minute, and then they explode on it.
I have a suggestion for the listeners today.
Yeah.
There's in the middle of the Shawangwe National Forest. There's a small lake called Black Lake.
Uh-huh.
It's a wonderful place. Early in the year, because it's aptly named Black, it's like ink. It's right downstream from Moose Lake.
Yep.
And the musky fishing, if someone wants to start musky fishing, that's the place to do it.
It's about 100.
One of the cheapest places to camp, to bring mm-hmm. your family. You may trip over an elk or a black bear, but if that's all right, it's cheap, great place to take your family early in the year.
And that's another reason why right now, I mean, we have bills going before, and that's another reason why we need that continuation of that stewardship program to keep, saving wild lands and having these lands for our future generations.
Tell you what, I've spent many times fishing in Black Lake, the one you're talking about there. And
it's not a secret?
No, it's not a secret, and I've caught a lot of fish in Black Lake and camped there. The camping there is really great because there's no buildings on the lake. It's like you're in the middle of nowhere, and it's a fun place. I did catch, I haven't caught anything. I have 40-inch muskie was the biggest one I ever caught there, I think.
Larry, we're blessed with so many wonderful lakes in Wisconsin. Minnesota say, the land of 10,000 lakes. We have more than 10,000 in Wisconsin.
There was a 28-inch limit there last time I was there. And even now, it's dry enough, there probably isn't even mosquitoes on Mosquito Island.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate the call.
That's one good thing about the dry weather. Mosquitoes haven't been bad.
No, haven't been bad at all. Paul in Oshkosh, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I am a recent Wisconsin transplant from Illinois, and so I'm just kind of starting to fish, and I've been doing some fishing on the Wolf River. And I was wondering, the DNR does a really good job of telling you limits and things like that, but is there a good visual reference that I can get to bring along to identify the fish that I'm catching?
Well, the DNR does have numerous publications, and I'm sure you can find it on their website online, and they also do make a whole packet, and they're originally made for children. They have a package of like baseball cards, but with fish on them, identifying the different species, with a picture of them, telling some of their characteristics, what they, what to look for. I mean, you're in a great area, around Lake Winnebago and that Wolf River, Fox River, whole watershed. You have so many places to fish. Yeah, I mean, you have Poygan, Winneconne, Butamore, the main lake itself, Winnebago is fantastic, and you can go out in those bodies of water and you can catch 8 different species of fish the same day. And there's good, the walleye fishing is fantastic, but there's so many other good species too.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And you can join in too at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison 263-1890. Jerry in Eau Claire, you're next. Hi, Jerry.
How are you doing?
Great, thanks for calling.
See, I guess I had a comment. I do a lot of fishing, and I love fishing, and I do some bass fishing. And I saw an article in the paper, and something that I talked to a few guys about this. But the Nelson Lake Association up there, they want to get rid of the bass in the lake, so they've been having this catch and cook tournaments, and they caught and killed 405 bass just recently. Because they want, and it's like, I don't understand why they're doing that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, why can't they relocate fish or...
I haven't heard of that, and I don't understand why they would be, you know, especially...
Oh, it's happening,
I mean,
honestly. And this is the second year in a row they've done it, and the first year they had over 100 fish, and this year they claim they killed over 405 bass and cooked them up to eat, and they give away all kinds of prizes and money, and they're making a big deal out of this, and they plan on doing it every year because they think they should have walleyes in the lake and not bass. And it's like, well, it is what it is.
Yeah, you can find, you know, issues like that all over in different parts of the state, and I don't know all the details involved, but, I mean, any fishing that I do, guiding or anything like that, I mean, I can't tell you the last time I know anyone who killed or kept a bass or a largemouth or a smallmouth.
Well, these are largemouth, and they had pictures in the paper and a really big article, and I guess it's really frustrating that people that fish and take care of the resources, like I'm catch and release. I have a ton of catch and release that I do, and I very rarely keep a fish unless it's hooked bad. And, heck, I think it really is tough on the resources, and to do this and promote it as a tournament, you know, to give away all these prizes and make it's just ridiculous. It's a natural resource that's supposed to be enjoyed by everybody.
I totally disagree with it, and if you can catch my email number, send me some information on that. I'd like to look into it.
And we'll give that email number and Gary's website in just a minute, right after we take a look at the news here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. We're talking fish and fishing now with professional fisherman and guide Gary Enberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. If you have a question or comment for us as we move along today, you're most welcome to join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Let's go to Dave in Hayward next. Dave, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and Gary. Thanks for bringing me on here.
You bet.
Hey, guys, I'm the DNR's fisheries team leader for the Upper Chippewa Basin up here in Hayward. And the reason I'm calling is a gentleman that called in a little bit ago regarding the Nelson Lake bass fishing event.
Yes.
Just thought I'd shed a little bit of light on that. the Nelson Lake folks actually did a wonderful job. They had 400 and some people out there and about 80 kids just celebrating the day. And they were harvesting largemouth bass that were between 10 and 14 inches long. That's the size range that we encouraged harvest for. And it was all part of the Nelson Lake Fishery Management Plan, excuse me, that was intended to selectively harvest some smaller size group of bass in order to thin them out, get them to grow a little bit faster. I'm sure Gary knows of some waters that he's fished where the largemouth bass are a little overabundant in the smaller size groups.
A fish lake.
There you go. So, you know, a few fish being harvested there, and the gentleman is right, they did harvest 400 fish, but we estimate there's about 25,000 bass in Nelson Lake at least.
Oh.
So it's kind of a drop in the bucket, but we view it, the DNR views it, as kind of a good first step in creating the awareness that we need to selectively harvest largemouth bass from the lake, not only to thin them out so they'll grow faster and get bigger to meet our management plan objectives, but also to make some room for walleyes because in Nelson Lake and actually in a number of area lakes, the protections that we've afforded to largemouth bass over the last several years with the 14-inch length limit that went statewide in the late 90s and some of the seasonal harvest restrictions have actually allowed largemouth to expand in such numbers that in some lakes that were traditionally walleye lakes, like Nelson Lake, which was a wonderful walleye fishery for 20 years, actually have reverted now to largemouth bass-dominated fisheries because the bass, the largemouth anyway, are quite effective at consuming young-of-the-year walleye. So it's part of an overall plan that actually about 40 people helped us to develop back in 2004 that was aimed at restoring a walleye-dominated fish community.
See, Dave, I understand on how it's part of can be part of your management plan, and that's the part we didn't hear or didn't
sure.
know.
And I think the caller probably didn't know either. Until you hear the whole story, it sounds
right.
kind of gruesome. You know, a bunch of people go out there and slaughter the fish.
The rest of the story.
The rest of the story. And speaking of selective harvest, I mean, you guys know In Fisherman's been talking about this for many, many years. And I heard someone call in about Black Lake earlier. That's also in my management area. And you might be interested to know, both you guys, and Larry, since you fish the lake, that we're proposing this year, and it should go on the spring hearing questionnaire next spring, to implement a new type of regulation for those 28-inch minimum length limit lakes for muskies.
Yeah.
We don't think that regulation has been particularly effective in those lakes that have high numbers of small muskies. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to propose, anyway, a 34 to 40-inch protected slot limit for muskellunge as a new type of regulation for Wisconsin in those waters that have high numbers of small, slow-growing muskies. Black Lake would be included, but there are a lot of other lakes that Gary may know about, or even you, Larry, if you fish up in our neck of the woods, Callahan Lake, Tiger Cat, the Day Lake Flowage, a lot of those that are just chuck full of 26, 27, 28-inch muskies that aren't growing well.
Do you know of any other lakes where they've had a slot limit for muskies?
I don't. I believe this will be the first slot limit for muskies in North America.
Because, I mean, a lot of Plateau waters I fish, you know, we have it for walleyes now, but, I mean, I've never seen it for muskies. That's why it's very interesting.
And, right. Dave, you might just explain what a slot limit is for those who might not know, understand it.
You bet. And there are various types of slot limits, but the protected slot limit that we're talking about protects fish in a particular size range, and it would be 34 to 40 inches in this case, which in the lakes we're talking about will be predominantly females, the faster-growing fish. It would allow harvest of one fish daily that could either be less than 34 inches long or over 40 inches long. So you can still harvest one fish per day, but it can only be a small one or something that you might want to hang on the wall.
Okay. Most of the waters that I know where a slot has been implemented within walleye lakes, it's been very successful. You know, down here we have Lake Wisconsin, which is it's a flowage. It's the impoundment between Wisconsin Dells and Sauk City, but they put in a slot limit where you can't keep a walleye between 20 and 28. One over 28, the fish you can keep are 15 to under 20. And it's worked very well.
Sure, and it sounds very progressive there, and we have a few of those up here. We've got a 14 to 18-inch slot limit on walleyes at Grindstone Lake in Sawyer County.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Have an excellent walleye fishery there. But those slot limits are dependent upon having high, sustained, consistent, natural reproduction and recruitment of these fish.
But then, Dave, we can go to Winnebago, where we've taken away all size limits on walleyes now.
Yeah.
And the fishery is excellent, but what they have had is fantastic year classes.
Fantastic year classes and probably some awfully good growth once they get up to a certain size. We've done the same thing with the Chippewa flowage, Gary. There's no size limit there, and yet people here will tell you that this spring and early summer has been the finest walleye fishing anyone can remember on the Chip.
Oh, interesting. Dave, I really appreciate the call.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
Chippewa flowage, there's another body of water.
I think you know the Chip.
lots of great stories of fishing on the Chippewa flowage. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I love that place. Well, let's take another Dave. Dave in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, I'm actually from northern Wisconsin.
Actually, you're from Hayward, Wisconsin, and you know fishing has no boundaries very well.
Yes, I do. I fish fishing has no boundaries for 20 years on the Chippewa flowage now, and I'm one of the founders of the Madison event also.
And you're starting a new one now in Milwaukee.
Yes, we are, and that date is September 15th with a wind day of the 16th because we can fish in the rain.
How do people learn more about that particular event? It's coming up then.
Yes, it is, and we have a website, Fishing Has No Boundaries, at Chequamegon.net, and you can also call the law offices of Cook and Frank in Milwaukee.
David, you can have anyone get a hold of me or something too, and I can steer them in the right direction. And Fishing Has No Boundaries has a very, very good website. Like there's good chapters around the whole state. The original one David was a part in started in Hayward. You have Eagle River, you have Madison, you have Chippewa Valley, UW Oshkosh, Fond du Lac. You know, it's in I think there's 22 chapters now in 11 states. But go to their website and check it out. David's done a great job in it. And David, I used to work construction with David, and he got disabled falling off a bridge. But he's been a great person and really helped a lot with the program.
The national organization's address is P.O. Box 175, Hayward, Wisconsin, 54843.
Give me a call, David. We'll go fishing.
You betcha. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate the call. Good guy. Good guy. Mike in Fond du Lac, it's your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I would like to give a different perspective of walleye tournament fishermen. We have in Fond du Lac what's called the National Walleye Tournament, and every year the fishermen donate $10 apiece from their entry fee, and it goes to an organization called Walleyes for Tomorrow, and that organization then takes it and does habitat work.
Fantastic work. Matter of fact, you did the artificial reefs, I know.
Right, yeah. We have 93 artificial habitat reefs in Lake Winnebago, and we do a lot of work up on the Fox and the Wolf River. So, you know, tournament fishermen are not all bad. I mean, I fish tournaments for like 18 years, and I don't anymore. But, you know, what people need to understand is everyone that fishes a tournament has a fishing license, and, you know, it's their right to go fishing and harvest a daily catch. Most guys practice catch and release, so those fish go back in. Unlike
people don't realize that when you do fish a tournament. I fish the Mercury Nationals now for over 20 years, and all those fish, you have to keep your fish alive because you have to bring them live. You get deducted when you go up to the stage, and if your fish are dead, so it's in your interest and everyone's interest to keep those fish alive. That's why you'll find professional anglers, tournament fishermen, are some of your best conservationists.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And we appreciate all their support over the years. So that's all I really had to say.
Thanks. Are the saugers coming back?
Yes, they are. We also have a sauger program.
Save our saugers.
Yeah. We've been doing well. We run a sauger hatchery every year and hatch sauger eggs. We put in 13 sauger spawning structures up on the northeast corner of the lake. So the sauger arc, hopefully we'll have an open season on sauger in 2010.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mike, for calling. We're going to go to Kim and Kadat next, but you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. We finally have some open lines. We've been filled pretty much all along here, but now we have an open line or two. We can get you on pretty quickly, so give a call. And Kim and Kadat, your turn. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Gary and Larry. I'm just heading back from Lake Superior, which is our greatest, I think, asset.
And the water's way down.
It is down, yes, but the fishing was excellent. Lake trout were abundant and had a blast up there with some friends and relatives. And I'm just heading back, and I just thought, just to let people know that the fish are biting.
What kind of fish were you catching?
Lake trout and all lake trout, but one caught one coho.
How far out did you have to go?
Most of the days I was in between Madeline and Stockton in Michigan, out in the flat. And then the rest of the time, we went out one day out by Outer Island.
Okay.
But one other thing, too, is you talked about saugers just a bit ago, and I believe I probably got if the state took it as a record, I'd probably have the state saw guy.
Uh-huh. Which is, I think there is a record on it. Matter of fact, I got the state booklet in front of me, and I was...
Well, check that out.
I think, matter of fact, I think the saw guy was caught in the Wisconsin River by Jim Burns, and I think it was about 7 or 8 pounds, if I'm correct.
Is that, do you know the length on that?
I'm doing a little research here.
He's looking, so...
I'll tell you, if you get a sauger in the in the mid to high 20s, that's a big one.
Well, this saw guy ended up being 27 3/4 inches.
That's
all right. They don't list a record for that, but that's a big fish.
And that was caught down in Alma.
Uh huh. That was caught there on the river, huh?
It was right from shore, and it was tagged, and they told me it was 10.5 years old.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Good for you, Kim. Thanks for calling.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. Nitro in Vilas County, your turn. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to know how to correctly hook and harness a dead sucker to use it as casting. It's kind of an old fishing custom, but very effective. Do you know how to do that?
Larry, you're my musky man today.
Actually, you can get a harness. You can just pick up a harness at any of the local bait shops that that is specifically for that, and that's what I do. There's some nice ones, and they...
I think Joe Bucher makes one. Matter of fact, his company makes one that you can buy already pre-rigged.
And you can use this to cast them, not the live ones?
Correct. No, I mean, we're not talking about a quick set or a quick set rig. We're talking about a casting rig.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
Bye.
A lot for calling. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that's what you could make one, I guess, but why make one when you can
be a little more expensive. But.
Might be a little more expensive, but not a lot, not a lot. Heather in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Heather.
Hi. I just started fishing this summer, came to it a little later in life, and as a newcomer, it seems that when I'm doing a catch and release, I don't really plan on keeping anything. When I'm taking the hook out of the fish, it seems as though it does quite a bit of damage to the fish, and I'm wondering what the best way is to do a catch and release and still keep the fish healthy and alive.
Okay, the best thing to do, I mean, if the hook is just in its mouth area, you know, you can get it out easy enough with the pliers. If the hook is down deeper, the easiest thing and by far the what you should do is to cut that hook off with maybe about, 6 inches or so of line left on. That, the stomach juices and all, and, inside the fish's stomach will dissolve that hook in a matter of, a week or less, and it'll pass through their system. If a hook, any time you have a fish hooked deeply or you see a little blood or anything like that, don't try and take the hook out. Just cut the line and let it go, and it's remarkable how they can heal themselves.
Really? Okay, and... So I shouldn't try to back the hook back out.
Don't. I would, hooks are cheap, and to save a fish's life is well worth, a quarter or whatever a hook is going to cost
you.
And they'll develop. I mean, I've seen them, pass, out of their anal vent. I've seen a fish pass a rubber worm out of its system. But as far as hooks in line, their body juices will dissolve that in no time at all.
Okay, and how do I need to be sure to keep my hands wet when I'm handling the fish?
That's
do they have a slimy coating on them?
Very important thing, because you can take off that coating if you touch them. Matter of fact, make sure your hands are wet, touch the fish, then that's fine. If you don't, you'll take that slime away a lot of times. And actually, you can see on the fish where your hands touched it if your hands, weren't wet.
Okay.
So that's by far the, between that and cutting off the hook, those are very important.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Thanks for calling. That was a good question. A lot of people probably were interested in that answer,
Oh, you
too.
Get those de-hookers, and you start trying to jam something down them, and you end up hurting the fish worse.
Chris and Saner, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm involved with our Clean Boats, Clean Waters campaign here in the Northwoods, and that's where we try to fight the spread of aquatic invasive species.
Take care of that big Saint Germain.
Well... That Little Saint also.
Little Saint's got a few more weeds.
Yeah, but we have want to talk to boaters about being sure that when they go from lake to lakes, they clean off their boat and prop trailer, make sure there's no weeds being transported from lake to lake. And with the VHS concern that we have all over the state, also be sure that they don't transport any water.
Well, I got it yesterday.
One lake to another.
Yesterday I got an email from the DNR, and they're having public hearings starting real soon to make the VHS regulations permanent, and they're going to have public hearings around the state, and that's going to be a real good thing. And I wish people would attend them and express their views, but I don't think there's anything the matter with. Well, Larry and I were talking about this just a little while ago. I mean, VHS people are not maybe taking it seriously. They've had enough with CWD and deer, and they're just thinking it's, three more letters that I don't know about. But it's devastated some fishing populations in the Great Lakes, the St. Lawrence River. So it's very, very important to take it seriously.
That's why we need to take the precautions when we're out fishing.
Good question.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for calling, Chris.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it very much. Dennis in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was calling regards. I heard a gentleman call in and talk about the fishing tournaments and how great they were for Wisconsin. And I'm kind of on the fence. I have fished a lot of different areas, and I have run into these tournaments on some of these smaller lakes where you can't even get into the boat landings. And these clubs come in and they pretty much take over the lake. And there is a lot of fish that are mishandled during these tournaments. I've seen it. And I just think we need to get control of it. It's there's a lot of areas, some of these lakes up there, it's every weekend that they have a tournament up there. And
there was hearings last year, you know, about tournaments, especially because they had some, you know, the FLW had some bad success on bass dying on the Mississippi River, and they are limiting the number of tournaments on specific bodies of water. They're limiting the number of participants, how many tournaments throughout the course of the summer, the size of the tournaments. They're, you know, the DNR, I think, is on top of it, and there's been a lot of, you know, there's a lot of questions and a lot of discussion on both sides of the fence. But I mean, but most tournament anglers do want to, you know, help your fishery. And the other important thing is that people aren't mentioning they bring a lot of money into the local economies.
Yeah.
How about for the small clubs, though? Are they being limited?
There's some grandfather clauses, I know, on some of these smaller tournaments. And there's certain numbers, and I'm not going to quote anything because I might be wrong. But if you look on it, there's a lot of, you know, the size of the tournament, the number of participants, the size of the body of water, all these things are factored in.
Yeah.
Well, if I see it again, I'll call it into the DNR because there is a couple lakes that I really enjoy the fish, and the last several times I've been up north, they've been full of boats and bass.
Oh, I agree totally. I mean, who wants to go fishing on your favorite lake on a nice Saturday morning and have 100 bass boats out there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
There's got to be a, you know, a compromise between the both.
Thanks, Dennis, and go ahead and do make those calls. Dave from Eau Claire is a fisherman. I'd like to know if you can still bring your own live bait fish into Wisconsin lakes if there's no live bait around, and I don't think you can.
Nope, you can't transfer any live bait, and to begin with, any bait sold in the state has to come from a licensed Wisconsin bait dealer, and when you leave any specific body of water, you have to kill those minnows, and that's not dumping them in the water. That's not dumping them in the ground. That's putting them in a plastic bag and putting them in the garbage.
So there's something else to remember. Well, tournaments, you fish tournaments. I'll be fishing the World Champion Muskie Tournament up in Boulder Junction in September. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're actually going to do a radio show from up there on that Thursday and then fish the tournament on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So kind of looking forward to that.
That's a great event. How many people fish it, Larry?
You know, I don't know. It's quite a few.
Lots
of people fish that championship, and I can't remember what the number is now, but it's on several bodies of water.
What team are you on?
Well, I'm on Team Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to win that event.
I fished on Georgia Steakhouse one year.
it's a lot of fun. Well, Gary, in the last minute here, any good advice for our fishing friends out there?
Fish early and fish late. Don't try and get out there during, you know, the ridiculous hot weather. I mean, go low light conditions are when our fish are going to bite. Fish are going to turn to be nocturnal right now. They're going to be feeding late at night, and that's going to be the best time to fish. They're totally going to change their, you know, if you go out at 12 noon now, you're just going to be hurting yourself, and you're probably not going to have really good fishing. Just try low light conditions. Live bait seems to work real well right now. No matter what the species, night crawlers and leeches seem to be working real well, and crankbaits, but try and target species. I'd go after catfish, smallmouth bass, and muskies.
Yep, and I had some great fishing earlier this year with my daughter Emily on Lake Monona, catching one bluegill right after the other. About every 5 seconds, you had another fish.
We had the Fish Against No Boundaries. It was 2 weeks ago on Lake Mendota out of Governor Nelson State Park. Larry and I saw some, you know, 10 and 11-inch bluegills, and that's a big bluegill.
That is a very big bluegill, and those taste pretty good.
Oh, those one-pounder. Any bluegill tastes good, but especially those big guys.
Gary, thanks. What's your, give us your...
Okay, anyone can get a hold of me. My email address is gengberg, and it's spelled engberg at chorus, that's chorus.net, and then Gary, or you can get me garyengbergoutdoors.com. And my website's under construction, but it's almost up there. We're going to have a weekly and maybe even a daily blog on it. There's going to be a lot of great information.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Larry.
Gary Engberg, outdoors.com. That's the place to go. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.